Good evening and thank you for joining us. It has Happy New Year. It is 2011.
Happy New Year. I can't believe it's 2011. How did that happen?
Either. It just happened one night.
It's amazing. It just overnight.
Overnight.
Yeah.
It's a new year. Happy New Year. And it's always good to see Tara in the new year.
Yeah, I love my Sabrina.
We are still in Acts 4.
We are still in
Praise
Acts 4.
Praise the Lord.
We have been looking at Peter and John in the Tell It Well. And the purpose of Tell It Well is for us to learn how to communicate God's word in our own language. I have done 18 years of Bible studies, and I have been shocked, not in a good way, in a bad way, of how many women will come in and are willing to be fed the word of God weekly and to be fed. But when it comes to speaking it out, how many shy away from speaking God's truth. And in a way, it's almost as if we are, and I don't mean this in a spirit of judgment in any way, shape, or form, but a spirit of gluttony in Bible study to the point that, but we're not willing to give it out. I mean, we need to, if we're going to dine, then we need to go and share the food, share the blessing. And Tell It Well actually comes from hearing so many women tell me, well, Tara, it's easy for you because you're a Bible teacher. Or I just can't go and tell somebody what I just can't do that. You don't understand me. I just can't do that. And I'm not going to, and you can't make me. And I mean, that's an exact quote, by the way.
Okay.
And, no, it isn't, but that is an exact quote. And then, when I started doing this particular series and telling the women that I'm going to teach them how to communicate the word of God, my Bible study went from 86 women to about 26. They left because we're not willing to learn. Now, a lot of people left for other reasons, but it was like a night and day drop. And I think it's because we do not see the relevancy of the word of God in being communicated. It is intended to be communicated. It is intended to be spoken. Romans 7:7 says, if I had not heard the word, I would not have known I had sinned. And the oral tradition remained faithful within our world until the Gutenberg Press happened. And once the Gutenberg Press happened around the 1500s, 1600s, I can't remember exactly, that was the press that enabled them to make multi-print books instead of being handwritten script books, when they started to be able to print them off quickly. And when the Gutenberg Press happened, we went from an oral society to a literate society. And that changed the way we responded to Scripture. And instead of telling each other the stories of the Bible, we would say, oh, read. But most of the society were not literate learners. So that meant that by producing the Word of God in written form, in book form, Bible form, we actually stopped the tradition of communicating the Word of God with our own mouth. And right now, worldwide, we have more Bibles printed than ever in the history of mankind. And they say we're to the third or fourth generation in America alone of biblical literacy. Okay, that is why I did Tell It Well. Because we have got to learn to communicate the Word of God. And Peter and John knew how to communicate.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
They did, didn't they? And when it came time, you know, the religious leaders looked out at them because they had healed the beggar at the gate called Beautiful. And they said, by whose name and whose authority do you think you're doing this? And Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, looks at them and he says, not by us, don't be looking at me. It is by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is by his name and his name alone that you are saved. That's where we ended last week. I have this J.W. McGarvey. He is a commentator that wrote in the 1800s. And he says, we should ask the question when they ask, by whose authority have you done this? That we should actually ask back, by done what? Because what they did was not a bad thing. And they were being questioned because a healing had occurred. And the question is, done what? I mean, why are you even asking me this? And we could almost even say, you know, at this point, who's on trial? Is it the Sadducees or is it Peter? because they're questioning him, but he's the one that stands up and gives the proclamation. And I started thinking about it. It's like, if they had known that Peter was going to stand up and say what he was going to say, would they ever have asked those three questions? I don't think they would have asked him. They would have rethought what they said. Because what they did is they opened wide the door for him to preach the gospel message in another way. And I just think it's hilarious because, you know, every time they try to stop it, it just gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, they were thinking, this is probably our worst nightmare. We told them to shut up, and they just keep speaking. And I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, talks about guarding ourselves, to guard ourselves. And the persecution that is rampant within Acts, it's a hard thing, but honestly, it's a good thing because it's the persecution that causes them to leave their Jerusalem, to go to Judea, to Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. It's the persecution that actually begins the missionary work of Christ. And, you know, and so as hard as that persecution is, that persecution proved to be profitable for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as Peter stands up in Acts 4, 8 through 13, and he begins to proclaim the movement of God, how God is working, he begins it with saying, know this. And I just, depending on which translation you have, let's see, in verse 13, he started that, and it's verse 8, not in verse 13 that he begins it. In the NIV, he begins, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to give an account today for the act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. That's the reason this man stands healed before you. They question his authority. We told in week one that this is a struggle and a battle between authority figures. And when somebody stands up and looks at you and says, know this, what does that convey to you?
Somebody says, know this.
Are they a person of authority?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only people that are going to stand up and say no to this, mm-hmm. Politicians, teachers, yeah. Presidents, judges, yeah. You know, leaders.
Yeah.
There's something in that phrase.
Yeah. And
I think it's hilarious that they questioned his authority and even in their minds called him an unschooled, ordinary man. And that word we said two weeks ago means you idiots. It comes from idiotis. And he looks at them and he says, know this. I mean, you can almost feel the finger pointing in their faces. I don't know if he did it physically, but the words verbally are.
Okay, well, it was power and might.
Totally. So. By the Spirit of the yes. Lord. Amen. And he says to them, let it be known and let it be understood. And he speaks specifically to the people of Israel. And in one of the translations, I didn't write it down, he actually says, you and all the people of Israel. When he says this, know this. And so he's actually bringing it to the people of Israel because that's where it begins. The gospel first starts with them. And he begins to talk to them that it's in the name of Jesus. And Sabrina just summed that up well. Mm-hmm. The name of Jesus is where we have the name, which reveals the power and the authority. The name in the Bible is very precious, very precious. And the reason why the enemy attacks the name of God is because the name reveals the character. And so that's why we ended last week talking about the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And it's in his name that there is power and authority. And I had a situation recently, I was substitute teaching, and I was actually for a Bible class. And the students, when they are done praying, I listen in when people are praying. I'm curious whenever somebody prays, not because of judgment in any way, shape, or form. I just want to see if they pray in Jesus' name or if they just say amen. Because amen means so be it. And but Scripture says to pray in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not being a legalist, and I don't want us to be legalistic about it or anything. But I just like to bring it to their attention. And when the student was done, said, Amen. And I said, did you know the Bible says to pray in Jesus' name? And I asked them, why do you think that is? And of course, the answer was, because he's Jesus. And I said, you're exactly right. But it's also because his name represents the power and authority that's been given to him in heaven. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're calling upon that power and that authority. Mm. And
it's like, so funny that you say that, because I have been taking notice of that. Many people that I've been praying around, or they just say, in your name.
Yeah.
In your name.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But to say it.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
Power in the name.
And you don't want to be legalistic, but that is so funny. I've been recognizing that.
Don't want to go legalistic on anything that we say. So much so that this morning, when I was praying, I had a specific person I was praying for, and it was a prayer that I was sending via email. And I wrote, in Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. In Jesus the Messiah.
Did you write it in Hebrew?
I did.
I wanted to learn how to write it.
And it just, for me, it was, I don't even know if the person's going to even know what that was, but for me, it added the power and authority to the name as I was praying. And that's what he did. And he looked at them and he began to proclaim, he says, Sabrina, I have to say this. Sabrina's over here just saying Yeshua HaMashiach over and over again. I'm going to write it down for you.
I'm such an
oral learner.
Yeah, oral learner. So I have to say it over. That's but the name of Jesus in Hebrew is like the coolest thing. Sorry.
Do you know the song? You need to learn the song.
I don't know the song.
There is a song. Y'all forgive me because she's the singer. I'm not. But it's Yeshua HaMashiach, the image of I am, comes to earth in person, a mortal man. We need to look it up so that you can do it. It's an amazing song. It's kind of like one of those ancient, it almost sounds like Hebraic in the way it's played out. Really, really powerful song.
His name just breathes life.
It does.
Sorry.
It does.
That's good. I mean, I don't need to be sorry for the name of Jesus, but I just am sorry that I took us to a little bunny trail.
That's not a bunny trail. Jesus is never a bunny trail.
That's right. Amen.
He's never a bunny trail. In fact, Peter, what he did when he was proclaiming to them, he said, you crucified him. And then he begins to talk to them and using the building setup. Mm-hmm. And when I taught this at the Open Door Mission recently in the last 3 months, I drew up on the whiteboard for them an actual drawing of what Peter was saying. And you guys can't see this out there on Radio Land, but I'm holding up my diagram for Sabrina in the radio studio. And I drew a building, the shape of a building. And at the very base of the foundation, the very corner stone, of a corner, the very first stone that is laid is called the cornerstone. That cornerstone is extremely important. The cornerstone is the stone from that point forward that they will line up every aspect of the foundation that they are doing as they are building up the building. Once the foundation is laid and the brick and mortar is laid up, the very last stone that is placed in the completion of a building is called the capstone. The capstone is capping off the completion of what has been built. Mm. It's the finished work. So the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Now, what the other thing is, and Peter doesn't talk about this, but I just think it's interesting because it goes along with the analogy, is that in architectural world, they use an instrument called the plumb line. And the plumb line is a very thick wire, depending on the size of the building, and it has a weight at the bottom. And they will stand at the top of a building and they will drop the plumb line beside the building. If the building sits flush to the plumb line, the architectural structure of that building is complete and it's whole and it's accurate. If the plumb line has a little bit of a leaning and doesn't touch the building, then the building is not a healthy building. And Scripture tells us that Jesus is also the plumb line. So when we align ourselves up to the capstone, the cornerstone and the capstone and the plumb line, we are sound, we're whole. And that is essentially what he's revealing to them. He is the capstone. He is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone and he is the capstone. And you rejected him. You threw him out.
You killed him.
Yeah. He's telling them the very foundation of what began, of what God was building, they didn't want to take a part in it. They didn't take a part of the beginning of it, and they didn't want to take a part in the end of it, and therefore they just don't have what he had given. And what he has given is salvation. And that you can't have that in any other name. And I love the verse. Sabrina, would you read for us this verse? I think we need to read it twice.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have two translations?
I do.
What do you have with you?
I have NIV and Message.
Okay. I want you to read it in both translations for us. Okay.
What verse?
Do you want to know the verse? Really?
I know we are.
Come on, Holy Spirit. I'm teasing you.
I was just going to go to 4:12, though.
It was 4:12 that I want you to read.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I was going to go anyways.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is the NIV. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The Message says, salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one.
Amen. All right. I want to break this down, though, very clearly to us. Is there anyone else ever been born that a person could be saved?
No.
Buddha? No. Muhammad? No. Joseph Smith? No. I'm going to tear down these idols. These are not names that we can be saved by. The only name that we can be saved by is Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Nazareth. It is his name and his name alone. Yeshua HaMashiach. If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our prayer today that you will believe on him and know that he died on the cross for you, that you would be saved. Beloved, if you are saved, it is a gift and a privilege to tell others that they may know Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. The power and authority that is in his name will place its guard of protection upon you as you tell. God bless.